My name is Jeremy Devins, and this is the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast on the seven most important transits to keep track of. Now, if you're like most people who know astrology on a surface level, you probably hear things like, it's Pisces season, or now it's Scorpio season. You start to see memes and things like this go around the internet. But if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, if you know about sidereal Vedic astrology, you know that when people are saying that, they're referring to the sun being in Scorpio. But you can look with your own eyes with the night sky app or any astronomy app or a telescope and see that that is not true. So what it's actually referring to is where Scorpio would have been 2,000 years ago, before the precession of the equinoxes moved it back 23 degrees. So here on this podcast and in sidereal and Vedic astrology, we use the sidereal zodiac, which is true to astronomy and continues to evolve with the precession of the equinoxes, which is a very long cycle where all the signs appear to move, which of course everything in space is always moving. So it's kind of an optical illusion, but it is referring to our place in the universe. And what we're doing with astrology is understanding this crazy, weird thing that's happening where we are conscious of existence here on this rock with an atmosphere. And there is an impact of as above, so below. The gravity, the photons, the movement of the planets and stars has an impact here on the planet. Felt most notably through the menstrual cycle of women syncing up with the moon and through the actual heat of the sun here on the earth and how that affects so many things here. But we have this direct connection to what's happening in the universe. And the more true we are to that, the more accurate we can understand what's happening. And if we want to understand ourselves and what's happening in the universe, we should be using an accurate system that we're using accurate terms. And Western astrology is accurate in the sense of it's seasonal and it's following cycles of time. But if you just follow this idea that we're in the Scorpio season now, or the Sagittarius season, or the Capricorn season, you're missing out on a massive ocean of universe, really, literally a universe of depth, of possibility of what astrology can offer us. So that's just like the very, very surface level of a seasonal perspective of cycles of time. Now, maybe you hear about the full moon and the new moon, again, based on the Western tropical zodiac and where that would have been years ago. And then when you start to get down to the planets and the moon cycles and everything else beyond just the Scorpio season and things like that, you start to talk about planets being in signs, then it becomes very hard to continue to follow that system. But again, it is measuring cycles of time, so it's accurate in that way, and it can be very accurate. And there are some great Western astrologers, of course. Maybe you hear about the eclipses, but all this is to say of like, what do we pay attention to with astrology? Why does it matter? How do we apply it to our lives? What things do we keep track of? And for me, as a person who's learning different subjects all the time, I like to go back to what are the basics? Like, what are the essential things to be paying attention to at all times? And as we go into this new year and in these podcasts, I share all these transits. In the second half of today's episode, I'll share the December transits. Coming up, I'll be sharing the 2023 transits, and I'll be sharing on the Mindful New Year live training, all in detail, the 2023 transits and how to work with those in more detail and practices to do that. But here I want to share, like, what are the things to be always paying attention to? So no matter when you listen to this, in a year, 5, 10 years, these things are always relevant. These things are always important. And it's much deeper than just the Scorpio season or the Sagittarius season. So I'm going to share seven things to keep track of to better understand and apply astrology to your life. Number one are your dashas. So these are the planetary cycles that can go from 6 to 20 years, depending on the planet and the cycle, that you are living through this, essentially what I consider like a chapter of your life. Or you might even go even far as to say, like, it is a book of your life, and you've got several books in your life that you're going to be experiencing, like stories, and they have chapters within those, and those chapters are the sub-dashas. So dashas to sub-dashas, and there's 5 layers of the dashas, but these first 2 are the most important. So number one thing to always be aware of is what dasha you're in. Like if you're in the Saturn dasha, that is the chapter or the story, the book that you're in at that point in your life. Lessons of discipline, lessons of commitment, lessons of learning from old wisdom traditions and old teachings like Jyotish, Vedic astrology, or other astrology systems, or tarot, or traditional Chinese medicine, or maybe ancient Egypt, and other different ancient teachings, or old teachings, old ways of doing things, old-fashioned things. Right? Those are all some major themes of just a Saturn dasha. And then, well, what does that mean to me? How does that affect me? You look at your chart, where Saturn is placed, what is playing out in that Saturn energy in your chart. And then the sub-dasha, the second most important transit to always be aware of, is like the chapter of that book, of like what's happening now. So you're in the Saturn dasha, but it's Saturn moon. So you're learning all these lessons about your emotions and possibly struggling with depression, because Saturn and moon together can create depression. Or you're learning about your relationship with your mother on a deeper level, or possibly becoming a mother, or working with maternal energies in your life in some way, working with energies of your mind and your emotions, better understanding, coming more possibly into embodiment of feeling and expressing and experiencing repressed emotions, right? So this is just an example. It's going to be different for everybody in the dasha and sub-dasha, and depending on where those planets are placed in your chart, because it's showing like how those universal energies are affecting you personally and your unique composition of stardust and carbon. So the third most important transit to keep track of is the outer planets. So those, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, are not always used in traditional Vedic astrology, but I've just seen so often how valuable they can be. So I do use them in what is considered a neo-Vedic astrology approach. And a lot of modern Vedic astrologers do use them as well. And if you just look at the research, it's pretty clear that they are very, very helpful. But those can go from 7 to 31 years because of the unusual orbit of Pluto in particular. So Pluto can go up to 31 years in a specific sign. And that's a pretty wide range that Pluto can have in its orbit. And so these cycles are more generational. So they are more about understanding what's happening in your generation that you were born in, and then what's happening in generations alive now, and generational shifts that are occurring that are big, major markers of like themes of that generation, of that part of society. So when you're watching those, it makes more sense when there's like these big generational shifts and suddenly you feel like you're really old and your ideas are outdated and like there's all these movements happening that you don't understand, or you feel like, oh wow, I'm actually like out of touch or out of sync with what's happening in this part of the world, or this pop culture thing, or these things happening in social media or whatever. That is a big part of measuring those shifts in generational experiences. Number four, most important transit to keep track of is Saturn. Shani represents boundaries. I've talked about this already a little bit today. I talk about Saturn a lot. It's on the cover of my podcast. It is a strong energy for me, and I think it's always an important energy to be aware of, because it teaches us about our limits, teaches us about humility, of service, of the limits of, because it's literally like the furthest planet we can see with the naked eye. So it's like the boundaries of our visibility in our solar system of grahas, of planets. And it teaches us about maturity and growing up. And people go through their Saturn return, which is a totally different topic for a different day. But that is a time of learning major life lessons around 30, 60, and 90. But the Saturn transits, Saturn is always moving. To get to that 30, 60, 90 year cycle, it spends 2.5 years in each sign. And while it's in that sign, there are major lessons happening there. Like in 2020, Saturn moved into Capricorn and began all of the massive government control and restrictions of Saturn and Capricorn. So it amplifies the power of government and restrictions and containment of energy, which is what happened in 2020. And there was other factors with that I talked about in past episodes, but that's a pretty extreme example of like what can happen when Saturn goes into a sign. And then it was amplified and controlling so much energy. And Saturn was essentially the dominant planet for about 2 years straight, in the sense that it was the final dispositor, ruler of so many other planets in the general horoscope for that time. So it had such a strong influence. So it's a good model in that sense of like learning from what is a very strong Saturn transit. And for you personally, look where Capricorn is in your chart, and that's where Saturn would have been for you in 2020 for 2.5 years, and having that influence on that house, that area of your life. If you're not familiar with the houses, you can go way back in the archives. I did episodes on each house as well. Number five, most important transit to keep track of is the transits of Rahu and Ketu. These are the north and south nodes of the moon, respectively. That is an 18-month cycle. And with that cycle comes a shift in our drive for materiality and our drive for spirituality. Rahu representing our drive for human experiences here on the material plane, and Ketu driving our ambition and drive for experiences of the immaterial, of the subtle, the spiritual, the transcendent, moksha, liberation. And with that comes our poles of like what's important to us, of what would we be driven towards and ambitious about, and where do we find spiritual meaning and significance and go beyond the material plane. And you look where Rahu and Ketu in your chart to understand that transit better. And that is like a big trigger, a big changing point, especially when they're over your Kendra houses, the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth houses. Those are the main areas of your life. First house, yourself. Fourth house, your home, your family. Seventh house, your relationships. And tenth house, your career. So when Rahu and Ketu transit over those houses, there's big shifts in your self-identity, in your relationships, your home, your career. And those are major turning points in life. And I started this podcast when I was in a Rahu transit over my first house. And that was a time where I had major shifts in my life, like major sense of identity change and stepping into different roles in my life in a lot of ways. So that's one example for me. Number six, most important transit to keep track of is Jupiter, the guru. So the guru is the teacher, the one who brings light into the darkness and teaches us about light and darkness, the importance of both. Jupiter is wisdom, it's expansion, it's growth. It's the gas giant planet in our solar system. It protects us from asteroids. It literally is the reason that we could have life on Earth, most likely, because it absorbs and pulls into its orbit so many asteroids and comets. So Jupiter has a year in a sign. It's what is the Chinese zodiac is based on, the Jupiter transits. And that's why they have a 12-year cycle there, because Jupiter is 1 year in each sign. There's 12 signs. It's a side note. But for yourself, look where Jupiter is in your chart to understand where is now a year of expansion and growth in that area. And this is why sometimes you might have that experience where this a year where it's just a lot of growth and expansion, you're very hopeful and optimistic, things are going good. Generally, Jupiter brings those things. There may be some negative influences. You always want to look at your chart to better understand. But then maybe that year was great, and the next year it's not so great, and it's more challenging, and it seems to be like you're not as lucky as you were before, and things aren't going as well. Jupiter has moved, and now there's a different energy there and different energies to work with, but that Jupiter energy has moved somewhere else, and now there's a new area of your life to focus on where you can have that expansion and growth. This helps us be more well-rounded people. Why does it happen? Why does anything happen? Who knows? But when we look at the patterns, it becomes very clear. And, you know, as I'm talking about these things and looking at my notes, it's just like, it's so amazing. Like, it's just like these clockwork patterns, 2.5 years for Saturn, 18 months for Rahu and Ketu, a year for Jupiter. Like, why does that happen? Like, it's just so interesting just to pause and think about like this sort of clockwork movement of time and cycles of patterns of energy in the universe. And we get to be here conscious and observing it and trying to live intentionally and have this incredible, precious, limited gift of human awareness and experience. For what? Who knows? But we get to do it and we get to enjoy it, and we get to understand there's some bigger meaning and purpose here. There's patterns playing out, and we can work with those rather than against them. And if anything, there is any sort of purpose and meaning to like the grand picture of life, I think it is to be conscious of it, to serve each other, to learn and grow together, to experience the massive abundance of the universe that is possible, to maybe someday explore space in future generations, to explore creation. And that is the one thing that's so unique to humans. We get to create things. So I think that's an important part of this as well. Like, what can we create from this and understand these cycles? And if you go back through history, so many of the creations that stand today are somehow measuring astronomy, like pyramids that sync up perfectly with the solstices, things like this. So that's an interesting sort of perspective of things. Just interesting to think about. So final seventh thing, the most important transit to keep track of with that, with the solstice and equinoxes could kind of fit in there. But the seventh thing I wrote are the eclipses. The eclipses happen every 6 months. And those are kind of like portals where we go into a new shift of energy for that 6 month segment. Right. So you see, as I've gone through this, I've gotten closer and narrower in time to the present moment. So go from the broader big picture of the dasha you're in, the book that you're living in, the book in your life that's based on your exact moment of birth, and somebody born 5 minutes later is in a different phase, a different dasha. Somebody born at the exact time as you in the exact same place would be in the same dasha, but they would have different other factors in their chart, different smaller divisional charts and things like that that would change that. But they would also probably have quite similar outcomes, as you've seen in twin studies where they don't even know each other and they come back 20 years later and they have the same job and they're dating the same person, like same type of person, not the exact same person. But with twin studies, you can see that of like there are people born at the same time who live very similar lives, but there's always free will. So people can also live different lives as well, of course. But anyway, the seventh thing here, the eclipses, these 6 month cycles, the solar and lunar eclipses, it is in the ancient mythology of Vedic astrology, it is like the sun and moon being eaten by Rahu and Ketu. And it is like the energy of the sun and moon is sort of blocked for a moment and then reborn again and reset. And we have this new perspective. And on that day of the eclipses is a good day to lay low. But around that time, the 6 week period of the eclipse season that happens every 6 months is a big turning point. In so many examples, so many times, it's like going through the portal of the next phase of your life. And with that comes a lot of major decisions and sort of beginnings and endings that you'll experience. And those are the seven main, most important transits to keep track of that I would encourage that you always have some awareness of where you are in those cycles. Because those are the big picture things. You can kind of zoom out, okay. If you ever get unclear, lost, uncertain, what should I focus on? Where am I at? What's important now? Zoom out. Okay, I'm in the Venus dasha. There is a major life lesson happening now about relationships, right? And you would go further than that. Look what sub-dasha you're in. So let's say you're in Venus Sun sub-dasha. So you're learning about how to express yourself in relationship and have a sense of autonomy and authority in relationship, power with rather than power over. Teamwork to make the dream work. And the sun is about power and authority, but it's debilitated when it's in the sign of Libra, which is ruled by Venus. So there could be power struggles in the Venus sun dasha and lessons of learning of how to work together with others, how to be more collaborative, less egotistical, less self-centered, be more collaborative, more connected to others. Like that saying, like, do you want to be married or do you want to be right? And another way of saying that is like, do you want to be connected or do you want to be right? So the Venus Sun sub-dasha could teach you about learning how to be connected and not be too self-centered and righteous. And then you look at the outer planets going on too. So, okay, where is Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto? Not as important, but it can give you a broader sense of like what's going on in society, where you fit in that, like how you can contribute, where you might feel alienated or misunderstood or not understanding what's happening in some part of society. Because it does change, you know, relatively quickly as you're into adulthood and you're aware of things like astrology, like most people I talk to are well into adulthood, you've gone through some of these cycles. So you've had those changes and those opportunities to kind of recalibrate. So the outer planets can help you see that perspective. Then number four, again, Saturn, the Saturn cycle that you're in, the transit you're in, that is where you're learning some of your most important life lessons, some of your most difficult and challenging life lessons as well. And it's requiring of you a deeper level of service and surrender and humility. And with that comes a lot of wisdom and experience. And then fifth, again, Rahu and Ketu transits that you're in. This teaches you where you have a lot of passion, drive, and ambition for where Rahu is, and where you can find spiritual meaning and significance where Ketu is. So you have a nice balanced perspective of things, not too obsessive about material gains, not too detached and just aloof with the Ketu. And then number six, where Jupiter is, where you have massive opportunity for growth and expansion. And if Jupiter is poorly placed, then there's a time that's likely to be similar to the Saturn kind of energy of some challenging lessons about humility, about grace, about knowing your limits and where you can and cannot expand. Number seven, the eclipses every 6 months, the portals, the big turning points of the year. If you have big decisions to make around those times, it's likely that there will be a strong pull to make those decisions around those times. So those are the seven most important transits to keep track of throughout the year, in general, all the time, any time of year. Now, let's talk about what's happening this month in December 2022. So later this month, I will be hosting the Mindful New Year live training. I have moved the date back, so go to mindfulnewyear.com. You can join the waitlist. That will be coming up soon. So I don't have the date set right now, but I moved it back, and you'll hear why towards the end of this episode, because there are some transits that are more fitting for doing that kind of work towards the end of the month. So major transits happening in this month of December 2022. First of all, on Saturday, December 3rd, 2022, Neptune goes direct. Neptune represents illusions. And as Neptune goes direct and starts to move forward and seems to go faster now, we start to reflect on where we've been unclear or wanting to follow what is illusory. So is there something in your life that you've been following that's like, feels a little bit off? Maybe it's some path you started to go down and you're not sure about it. And maybe some truths start to come to light. So are there any illusions of the past several months that could be dispelled so you can find the truth in that situation? Is there anywhere you're obfuscating yourself, kind of lying to yourself, not being honest with yourself? Do you have a friend you could talk to who will be honest with you and say, you know what, I think this is out of alignment for you, or I see you doing this. If you have friends like that, I highly encourage just talking to them and just asking, like, just tell me the truth. Like, what do you think about, you know, what I'm doing in my work or in my relationship or just in general? Like, if there's something you've thought you could say to me that could be helpful to me, maybe you felt afraid to say, you didn't want to hurt my feelings, like, be open to receiving that feedback. And this is over the next 6 months while Neptune is direct. So this is a long cycle relatively where you can look at the truth of the situation and be willing to receive and give the truth to the situation and be willing to dispel the illusions that are not actually true and holding up anymore. Think outside the box. There's actually a good possibility for a lot of imaginative, creative energy at this time as well, especially if you work in media, entertainment, film, anything that is intentionally illusory, performance, acting, theater, these kind of things. On Sunday, December 4th, Mars being retrograde, going back to Rohini. And in Rohini is a good time to consider like what you've created in the past few months since Mars was last here that could be needing more attention now. So Rohini is about creation energy. How can your actions nurture what you've already created so you can make it more sustainable and potentially put some routines and checklists in place to make taking action easy to sustain those things, to take care of those things? This could be a literal baby that you've created. Of course, this could be the baby of a plant that you've planted, plants that you have in your home, animals, pets, projects, things that you have created, birthed, began, started, that need attention, to go back over those things of like, okay, what do we have here? What needs to be put in place to sustain this, to make this healthy and viable and sustainable? And this will give you space when Mars goes direct, that you can create new things, because Mars is going to come back over Rohini going direct, and that will be a more creative time of creating new things. On Monday, December 5th, 2022, Venus into Sagittarius. How can you add more adventure, fun, excitement, and variety to your relationships? More adventure, fun, excitement, variety to your home or the arts that you enjoy, like maybe exploring different kinds of music, going to a museum, watching different kinds of movie or entertainment, or maybe going on some sort of trip somewhere you haven't been before, somewhere exciting and interesting kind of sparks creativity and interest for you. Consider doing something bold or outside the ordinary and follow what you love and be adventurous. It's a good time to explore what you love and learn more about it, with Sagittarius representing wisdom and ideals and values, and Venus being our love. So it was a love of wisdom, which is the literal definition of philosophy, philosophia, love of wisdom. Great time for learning new things through this Venus and Sag transit. On Wednesday, December 7th, there's a full moon in Rohini Nakshatra, which is where Mars is as well. So this is a great time to reflect on what you've created, celebrate your successes, and do something kind of active to do it. Like maybe you go party with some friends. Maybe you go to a concert, go to a vigorous vinyasa yoga class. This is a very auspicious day and probably the most auspicious day of the month for any sort of creative work or just doing things that you love. Like moon in Rohini is exalted. Very beautiful place for the moon to be. Great time for expressing your emotions, connecting emotionally with others. And there could be a real, really satisfying sense of fullness and wholeness on this day. And if there isn't, that is a great reminder, opportunity to explore what feels out of alignment that is in the way of that. And even with that, to find opportunities of what you do feel grateful for, what you do have. And as they say in the Bible, to he who has, more will be given. To he who has not, even what little he has will be taken away. Which might sound a little extreme, but I always take from that concept, not being a Christian myself, but appreciating all traditions, all teachings, that in that teaching, what I hear is when we appreciate what we have appreciates in value, and more follows. It's like if you have a garden and you take care of the three seeds that you have, they will grow and give you way more seeds, and then you'll have more seeds to plant. If you don't take care of the three seeds you have, you won't grow anything, you won't get more seeds, and you have no garden. So that's another way of looking at it. And this is a time on Wednesday, December 7th, to really appreciate, celebrate, find an authentic sense of gratitude for what you do have, which sometimes can feel difficult and inauthentic. I get it. But it really can start with, like, you have the ability to hear. You have the ability to hear this podcast or anything you want to hear. You can listen to anything you want. That's incredible. Or for people who don't have hearing, they have the ability to feel and touch and smell. We have the ability to be conscious beings on this floating rock with an atmosphere through space. It's an incredible opportunity that we get to be alive even. On Thursday, December 15th, Sun also moves to Sagittarius. Sun and Venus are always close. So Sun being there too brings extra vitality and energy to doing the things I mentioned before, learning things that you love. Maybe you have a favorite teacher, philosopher, speaker, religious text, or book of wisdom you like to turn to. Now is a great time to do that. Find inspiration in those things. You might find some great ideas and inspiration and insight from doing those things. Counselors, therapists, teachers, guides in your life, they can be really helpful right now and say just the right thing at just the right time. And you could be very helpful to others as well. So very good time for conversation, sharing ideas, exchanging ideas, and learning with and about each other. And be bold again, explore new things, travel if you can, do something adventurous and fun with the Sun in Sagittarius. And this is, you could say, the Sagittarius season, but I don't like that. It's too oversimplified, and it's missing so much of what astrology can offer. But it is an opportunity to explore those things I mentioned. Even more so, on December 23rd, the new moon in Sagittarius. So the moon and sun are here with Venus as well. But the moon is in Mula Nakshatra, Mula meaning root. As you may know, the Mula Bandha or the Muladhara Chakra in yoga practices to connect with your root, the actual root of the base of your spine. So grounding practices can be very nourishing. Eating root vegetables at this time, especially if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, when it's cold and dark, potatoes, carrots, root vegetables can feel really nourishing at this time if that's in your diet. And this is a powerful time to set intentions for the new year. So as we get to the root of the issue, go deep within, we can do some deep inner work and connect to what matters most to you around this time. And plant seeds of new intention for not just the lunar cycle in the next 2 weeks, but the next year ahead as we move into 2023. And perfectly along with that, on Thursday, December 29th, Mercury goes retrograde. So it goes into Capricorn on the 27th and then starts to go back already on the 29th from Capricorn to Sag. This is a perfect time to review the past year. So if you can clear your calendar around the last week of the year, 29th on, if possible, maybe even a little sooner, this is a great time to review the past, reflect, revisit, revise, reset before the new year. Explore what commitments you've made, which ones you want to keep, which ones you want to let go of. Explore what you learned about yourself and others and the world, and what is intellectually inspiring to explore going forward. Mercury is buddhi, the intellect. Being retrograde means it's very close to the Earth. As I talked about in the last episode, if you didn't listen to that one, go back to hear my new way of describing retrogrades that I haven't shared before. But part of that is that the Earth is very close to Mercury during retrograde times. And this is a powerful energy. So the buddhi, the intellect of Mercury, is very illuminated for us. The gravity, the photons, the energy of Mercury being close is very present for us here on Earth. And connecting to what you value, what is intellectually stimulating, interesting, exciting to explore going forward is a perfect time to do that. With the Sagittarius energy, like the ideas, the philosophies, the values you want to explore, great time for talking through these things, communication in community, talking through these ideas. Get nerdy about it. And expect a slow start to 2023 because of the retrograde and the nature of retrogrades appearing slower with like that. But Mercury itself is actually going faster than the Earth. But again, I talked about that on the last episode. But expect a slightly slower start going into 2023 with all the retrograde energy and Mars retrograde and Mercury retrograde. But things will start to speed up pretty quickly into the new year as well. And then finally, on the same day, Thursday, December 29th, we have Venus into Capricorn. And with the month and the year coming to a close, this is a perfect time to ground your desires into commitment and action. What do you love to do? And what do you feel in your heart willing to commit to going forward? A year in modern days is a very long time. Time has this sense of speeding up and going faster. And with the rapid pace of technology now, we are experiencing lifetimes of ideas and info exchange in days now. So to plan a whole year is quite challenging now, but you might have a sense of an intention or heart's desire around the end of this month that you want to connect to. I'll share some practices in the Mindful New Year Live Workshop to actually do this and embody it. But what can you do as an act of love and commitment to your intentions and demonstrate that you are committed to this thing, whatever it is? Maybe it's an intention to just be present for the year, which I shouldn't have said just there. And I shouldn't have said shouldn't there. But maybe your intention is to be present for the new year, which is a big undertaking in itself. That is plenty. It's not just, it is more than enough. To be present for a full year is... it's challenging enough to do that in a single hour yoga practice. So to do that for a year and have that as an intention is very powerful. Or maybe your intention is to move or start a family or start a career, or start a business, change jobs, leave a career. This can be something feeling that feels bold and big and adventurous With all this Capricorn Sagittarius energy going on this month, there is major potential here and perfect balance of bold and adventurous and grounded and practical. Perfect way to plan for the new year. So that's why I'm moving the Mindful New Year course to later this month. And I had a flood of bookings for the offer I put out last week, the Gratitude Week offer. Thank you to everyone who signed up. It was a major success in the sense of getting to help as many people as possible for the next several months ahead and have my calendar fully booked. I'm honored and grateful, and it's a very humbling and just amazing thing that I get to share that. So I'm incredibly grateful, and thank you to everyone who signed up. I'm excited to meet with you all live on Zoom, those of you I haven't met yet, and those of you I'll meet in the future, including the winner of this month's random drawing. So if you're still here listening and you want to be entered to win a free drawing prize next month or in future months, all you got to do is leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts. And this month's winner is Callie Steezy from Great Britain, who posted a review on November 15th, who says that they have studied primarily Western astrology for over a decade, and now they're getting into Jyotish and found this podcast, and it's now their go-to podcast for sidereal astrology at the moment. And they've listened to just about every astrology podcast out there, some religiously, but had to stop because the sidereal zodiac and the Western zodiac and the tropical zodiac just don't overlap. They're very different. So I appreciate that. Thank you for listening and leaving your review. Please reach out to me, jeremy@quietmindastrology.com, to schedule a free 20-minute reading with me. And if you would like to be entered to win a free prize in the future, all you got to do is leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts. And as a token of my gratitude, I will pick a random person each month for a free prize drawing, which may include a reading or courses like the Vedic Astrology 101 course or the Mindful New Year course that I offer here and share with quietmindastrology.com, which is where you can get your free birth chart and get on the wait list for future readings, because I'm booked out for several months now. Quietmindastrology.com is where you can learn about that. And mindfulnewyear.com is where you can join the wait list for that course coming up very soon. So more great astrology insights to come in the month ahead and the years ahead. Hopefully you found today's episode helpful and could see the 7 most important transits to keep track of as you go through every month, every year going forward. And the most important transits, the 8 important transits happening this month in December 2022. As always, thank you for listening, and I look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.